Good evening and welcome to tonight's Monroe City Council meeting. This is the council meeting for July 14th, 2015. The time right now is 7 p.m. Ms. Smith, will you call the roll, please?
Certainly. Council members present and establishing a quorum are Hanford, Cutabak, Rasmussen, Camp, Davis, Gamble, and Herring.
Thank you. Councilmember Rasmussen, will you lead us in the pledge, please?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. And before we go into announcements and presentations, I have one item that I need to explain to the council members so that they don't, so they're aware of what's in front of them. We have a project on East Main going on right now. The council members each have the cylinder at their places. This came from Doug, who is our field inspector. These are paperweights, but these are the cores that came out of the ground. You'll notice the orange on the one side. This is where the flagpoles are. The flagpole holes are dug in or bored in East Main. So, paperweight for you, or something to hurl at the mayor later. So, I'm pleased tonight to report that we have Representative Elizabeth Scott returning from Olympia to give a presentation this evening. Please come forward. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks for having me here today. Good to talk to all of you, and really good to be home where I can see mountains and water again, the river and everything. Good to be back with my family too. This is my husband Paul, and we have two kids still living at home there, 11 and 19, almost 20. 20 in a few weeks, so she'll be 12 in a few weeks. I'm Elizabeth Scott. I'm the state representative in the 39th district, which covers from here to Cedar Woolley. So Arlington, Chunk of Marysville, and then everything east to the top of the mountains. So you've got Granite Falls, Darrington. So what I'd like to do is talk to you briefly about what happened in this session, where we are now. Some of you may remember, if you were here last year, can you all see that? When I gave a budget update about my discussion about the increased growth of spending. Of course, you would expect government to spend more as we have a higher population, but this bottom line here, the purple line, is inflation plus population growth. So you can see that the overall state spending, which is the top red line, is dramatically outpacing the increase in population and inflation. And that represents a heavier and heavier burden on the people who are paying taxes, which is everybody, really, because we all buy things at the grocery store, and that's part of where our taxes come from. This year, in the legislative session, we had another dramatic increase. Some of you may remember that when... can you pass one of you out?
If you could please,
my assistant, my lovely assistant.
Copy to our clerk.
You might remember that when Governor Inslee was campaigning, he promised that he wouldn't raise taxes because he felt it would be a bad time because we're still trying to recover from the recession. Then he kind of changed his tune a bit, and the House Democrats, who are in control of the House, you might remember that the House is in control of the Democrats, the Senate's in control of the Republicans, okay? So the House Democrats and Governor Inslee, at the beginning of the session, were asking for a number of new taxes to fund the additional programs and expansion of programs that they wanted to implement. That included some of the things on the table and debated all session long, all the way up until last week, were capital gains tax. That's a small income tax on capital gains on the very wealthiest, but in every state where they have a capital gains tax, every single state with a capital gains tax also has an income tax, a state income tax. So it is seen very much as a toe in the door. And that tax was not implemented. Another tax that they talked about quite a bit and debated over the last couple of years was an additional tax on our fuel, gas tax, they call it. And that was to input additional projects that were above and beyond what was already funded by the gas money coming in. So one of the confusing things in the press this past few months, not to Chris, who kept it all straight, but other press members, sometimes didn't convey the message to the public that there was a tax budget, which was passed. It was passed on time in April, and then there was a separate tax package. That's the transportation tax, the additional transportation projects that they wanted to add onto the ones that are already being funded. For example, Big Bertha, big projects like that, 522, those projects were already funded in the transportation budget. But additional projects needed a higher tax to be able to implement. So that was a big struggle between the House and the Senate. How much the tax would be. It was actually the Senate Republicans who proposed an over 11-cent gas tax and passed that bill through the Senate first, then sent it over to the House. The House Democrats wanted to increase it further. The House Republicans, who are in the minority, but they're pretty close, it's almost evenly balanced, many of them were adamantly opposed to an increased gas tax. That did pass. So, and I'll come back to talk about that later. So, in addition to that, there were a number of other taxes, marijuana taxes, for example. Medical marijuana wasn't being taxed, but they thought they might add that in. And so, another VMO taxes, a lot of things were proposed. Where we are now, if you're looking at your sheet, this sheet is already out of date. And you'll notice, if you compare this sheet, which you have, to this chart, this chart is also out of date. This chart only goes up through 2011, and it ends at $72.7 billion in overall state spending. Now, to be clear, that's the operating budget, the transportation budget, the capital budget, and all the other little budgets that are and specified funds, you know, specific funds that are all rolled into one. That's $72.7 in 2011. And then it went up to 80.5 in the 2013-15 budget. Now it is, I'm trying to get the correct numbers. It's very difficult to get these numbers. Usually they put the numbers on OFM, which is the Office of Financial Management, ofm.wa.gov. But it's very difficult to get one total number. So I was asking staff for the past few days, what's our new total? Nobody's given it to me yet. They keep sending me things that are lower than what we have in front of us. So I know that they're not giving me the complete totals. There's no way we went down. How do I know we didn't go down? Because we passed a brand new gas tax. It's actually almost 12 cents per gallon. So that will dramatically increase spending. So I think it's about million new in for additional projects. Then there's the marijuana, medical marijuana tax that will be coming in. That did pass. There were a number who voted no on that because they felt it was frankly unconstitutional to charge a tax on medicine. And we know that the people who've had medical cards since 1998, when medical marijuana was legalized in our state, those people will now have the option of either paying a large tax, 37% tax on the marijuana that they buy, or alternatively, they can opt to give their personal information, put it into a database of medical marijuana users. Now, some will be opposed to that because some of those medical marijuana users also own guns. And we have already had cases in Washington State over in the Spokane area of the federal government coming in to confiscate weapons when they said, well, we noticed that you're using medical marijuana. And although that is legal in your state, it is still illegal to us. So we're going to call that a felony and take your weapons. So that's a problem between the state law and the federal law. All right, so from my perspective, some wins, and from a lot of people's perspective, some wins that we saw in this session. Increased funding for education, The teachers did get a raise. The state employees got a raise. That includes our prison workers here in Monroe. They're getting quite a significant raise, actually. I think it's over 9% over the next 2 years. Nice, big, healthy raise. Additional money and programs for mental health. That there's wide bipartisan agreement that that is a weak area in our state system, and so we beat that up quite a bit this year. Losses, as far as I'm concerned, we had another 12% increase in the operating budget. So those of you who followed me for a couple of years know this is a big beef of mine, that how can people start a small business and succeed? How can they have the money to do the things that they would like to do? Fewer people are going to the movies, fewer people are going out to eat, because the money simply isn't there. It's being taken by government. You can see it right here. Tax Freedom Day in Washington State this year is April 29th. And what that means is, basically, a third of your working hours are spent just to fund government. Now, government's essential. Public safety, for example, a core function of government at every level. That's key. Education is in our state constitution as being of paramount importance. Everyone agrees. Yeah, this is a shared value that we have. Whether we have a child in school or not, it's a shared value that we want an educated public, right? We want our neighbors to be educated. Nobody minds paying for those things. But there are a lot of additional programs that have been added over the years, and additional layers of administration that have been added. So those are the types of complaints that I hear about most often. What else? A number of us voted no on the operating budget because it still included $25 million for Planned Parenthood. And I don't know if any of you are on Facebook or Twitter, but today a horrifying story broke out about Planned Parenthood, frankly, intentionally, I even hate to say it out loud, but they are taking organs and selling them from babies, livers, hearts, lungs, and they've got it on tape, discussion. So it's probably on some of your Facebook feeds tonight. Those videos. All right, so $25 million for that. So a number of pro-life legislators said, "Well, I can't vote for that," including myself. In addition, I guess what I would see as another win is they tried to expand the funding for implementing I-594, which many people in our area voted no on. In the 39th district, there was a big resounding no for I-594. That's the universal background check, which some see as universal gun registration. So a lot of opposition to that. I was happy to see that we were able to kill additional funding for that. Unfortunately, we weren't able to fix any of the problems with I-594, with the laws that were implemented through that. For example, some of you may remember the account of coming out of Whatcom County of a museum that was forced to give some of their borrowed, on loan, weapons, old weapons, back to their owners. They couldn't display them because they were afraid that the transfer of ownership was going to require a background check, and they didn't want to have to deal with that hassle. A small bill introduced by Representative Luann Van Werven from the 42nd District up there in Whatcom was not even given a hearing in committee. The chair of the Judiciary Committee said she did not want to see any changes to 594 at all, including that one. There was a bill proposed to allow soldiers, we have a ton of soldiers down at JBLM, who, when they're called into service, they give their, or when they're about to go overseas, they give their weapons to a friend maybe that friend even has a concealed carry permit, okay, it's already on the books. They give their weapons to that friend to take charge of them while they're overseas. They can't do that now. So there was a small bill proposed to fix I-594 so that they could still do that. Even that was not given a hearing. I guess it's kind of a little bit of a win in that it wasn't expanded, and gun control wasn't expanded further, but it's also a lot of people saw it as a loss that we weren't able to put some of those common sense fixes in. They weren't even given a hearing. Okay, so my bills, briefly, I was able to pass a little bill to help flower shops. Chris did a great job of writing up about that bill in her monitor. And we have heard from flower shop owners here in Monroe that that is a help. Basically what it says is a large online company can't masquerade as a local company. You know, a lot of us take pride in shopping local. And it's not fair when a company pretends to be local, has a local number, calls it, for example, Monroe Flowers or Arlington Flowers, but then it's routed through some 1-800 number in another state. And that little local shop then is required to deliver the flowers and can't recoup the cost of the delivery. So say a little shop in Arlington has to deliver out in Darrington, or a little shop in Monroe has to deliver up an Index or something, and they can't recoup that cost. So the little flower shop owners came to us and asked for a fix, and we did get that fix passed. It was actually passed unanimously in the House and Senate and signed into law. Another little bill to help Northern State Hospital and the hospital employees up in Cedar Woolley. That one was passed. There was it's called a companion bill, identical bill in the Senate that also made it through. And so what they did is they rolled those two bills together, and that one was passed and signed into law as well. Another bill that I worked on and that was passed was for LIDAR imaging. After the Oso landslide, a lot of people were worried about, well, is my house safe? I'm up on a ridge. I mean, what's under my house? So this LIDAR imaging bill puts, I think it's $6 million towards implementing LIDAR. It's kind of like radar, but it's a laser technology that can map the terrain. And then they're going to put that into a database that will be publicly accessible. So if you want to buy property to build a house on it, or you just want to check your neighborhood or even your kid's school, you know, what kind of area is it in, you can do that, or you will be able to do that. So I was happy to see that that bill pass. And then in addition, in the legislature, I'm on a group called the Freedom Agenda Team, which is seven legislators who work conscientiously to try to pass bills for property rights, Second Amendment rights, protecting life, lower taxes, smaller government, that type of thing. And out of the bills that we proposed were 88 bills. That we proposed this year, 65 of them got hearings, which is amazing because remember that we're in the minority, so we don't control the chairs or who gets to get a hearing. 12 of those bills passed their House of Origin, either the House or Senate, whichever one they were introduced in, and 5 of them were signed into law. And on top of that, we got over 70 Democrats to co-sponsor those bills. So that was really fun. There's plenty that both sides of the aisle are concerned about, including those rights that I just mentioned. Privacy is a big one. People are really concerned about the data that's being collected. They're concerned about things like stingrays, which police can use the stingray to capture information from cell phones in a large area. Maybe they're trying to track down one person's cell phone, but it scoops up a lot of data for all the other cell phones in the area. So now we actually banned that, unless there's a specific limits put on the capture of that information, and then the extra information has to be given away, eliminated, destroyed. So let's see, what else? About Monroe, let me look at this. So I talked about the raises for the public employees, so the teachers and the prison workers will be really happy about that. And on top of that, no specific requests came from Monroe for capital projects. We did have some requests for Boys and Girls Clubs in Sultan and in Arlington, and those funding requests did get answered. So they are getting some funding for those Boys and Girls Clubs. Oh, also in Granite Falls. Let's see, as far as transportation, funding for 531 is in the project, a transportation project. As far as the Department of Corrections contract, here's the specific numbers. Contract includes a 9.8% wage increase over this biennium between 2015 and 2017. And 5.5% of that is effective right away already, July 1st, and another 4.3% effective next July 1st, next year. So, 2016, you asked me briefly, I mean, that, the 2016 will be a short session, 60 days, knock on wood. And it'll begin the middle of January, go through the middle of March. Usually in the short sessions, they pass a supplemental budget if there are changes that are needed. And that's just a small, usually comparatively small amount. And there will be also all the bills that were introduced this year and didn't pass or weren't ever voted on the floor of the House and the Senate. Those bills will be reintroduced automatically the first day of the session next year. So some bills that I introduced this year that didn't make it all the way through the process will be brought again. So for example, this year I had a dozen bills for property rights and curbing agency control. One of the problems in our state is that agencies have been given rulemaking authority, so they change rules all the time on the fly, and then there's no way, they're not directly accountable to the people, so there's no way for the people to complain or fire those people who are making those rules. So I propose a number of bills that would allow more legislative authority and control over those rules, so that when we hear a ton of complaints from groups of people about certain, maybe for example farmers, if we hear a bunch of complaints about a certain rule, that we could go in and take a look at it and overturn it legislatively. That's something that we can't do now. Another bill that will hopefully be make it farther through the process next time is my bill to criminalize female genital mutilation. Already in 23 states, that is against the law. It has criminal repercussions. It is against the law federally, but it takes since 1996. But it takes a state legislature to decide what level of crime it is and to get the numbers. And so we need to require reporting from the mandatory reporters. For example, daycare workers, teachers, nurses, all those people who are right now required to report signs of abuse. And so that will be on the agenda again next year. Another one will be my bill. I already have it drafted to overturn the EPA at the federal level, their new Waters of the United States rule, which I don't know if you've heard about it, but it's going to be very difficult, not only for farmers and ranchers in our area, but even if you just own a house or an apartment building in this area. The Waters of the United States rule is written so vaguely by the EPA that any ditch, any man-made ditch, or even if you live on a hill like we do, and when it rains, it makes a little kind of channel in the driveway or near the driveway where the water transfers, that would now fall under the Waters of the United States rule and EPA regulations, believe it or not. So if you're within, you know, a certain distance of that water rivulet that left a path, you would need to file reports and things like that before you made any change to that property. That's insanity. And frankly, the Farm Bureau, the National Farm Bureau and the Washington State Farm Bureau, many state farm bureaus tried to stop it and overturn it, but were unsuccessful. So a number of states have already proposed emergency legislation to deal with that. So I'll be introducing mine next January. Any questions?
Thank you very much. Council members, any questions? Yeah, Representative Scott, thank you very much for your service.
Oh, sure.
Councilmember Camp.
I probably just going to echo what you're going to say. I just want to thank you for your service and thank you for coming here tonight. This is very informative, and I've heard more information that I've never heard before. It was a shock. Thank you.
Thank you. Great. Councilmember Hanford.
Thank you. Yes, I want to thank you for your service, Representative Scott, and thank you for coming tonight to share. I want to thank you for being willing to stand up and stay strong and be willing to pay the price for those hills that are worth dying on. and yet at the same time being willing to work across the aisle on those things that we can work together on and that we can agree on. So, thank you.
Councilmember Gehring.
I like that too, exactly what Councilmember Hanford said. Well done, thanks for your service, and I don't envy all that time back and forth and the extended session.
It was long. We've set a new record. There's 176 days.
Yeah, holy cow. It's so noted your hard work, so I appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Councilmember. Well, I appreciate your time, and I've got business cards here. If any of you have any questions later, or if you have any bill ideas or issues with agencies giving you a hassle or a headache, please do call my office. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. The next item that we have on this evening's agenda is comments from citizens. This is a time set aside for members of the audience to speak to the City Council on any issue related to the City of Monroe, except any quasi-judicial matter subject to a public hearing. Public comment is limited to 5 minutes per speaker. Anybody that signed up? Is there any member of the public who would like to come forward to speak? Please come forward and state your name and address for the record. Thank you.
My name is John Henry. I live in the startup. I am the president of the Sky Valley Amateur Radio Club. Last month, I accepted a proclamation from the city for Amateur Radio Week. Unfortunately, due to my lack of familiarity with city proceedings and my genetic allergy to government, I was a bit curt. I do believe the term rude was used. For this, I apologize. I meant no disrespect. This proclamation for Amateur Radio Week corresponded with an emergency exercise that we annually participate in called Field Day. This is coordinated by the American Radio Relay League and is focused on North America, however, has participants from all over the world. This year we talked to a ship off the coast of Australia. So it was really fun. We've been allowed to use your communications bus for the past several, since you got it. We really appreciate this. I want to thank you for allowing us to use this. We've been coordinating with Brad Felberg's office, which means we were talking with Brad Felberg. On behalf of myself and the Sky Valley Amateur Radio Club, I want to thank you for making this very useful emergency facility available. And we like the bus. So, thank you.
Thank you. Is there anybody else who would like to come forward to speak this evening? Okay. The next item we have on this evening's agenda is the consent agenda. Is there a motion, Council? Councilmember Hanford.
Move to approve the consent agenda.
Second.
We have a first from Councilmember Hanford, a second from Councilmember Cutterback. Any discussion on the motion to approve the consent agenda? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes 7-0. Thank you. The next item on the agenda is under unfinished business number one. This is AD 15-123, discussion 2015 comprehensive plan update. Mr. Osaki.
Mr. Mayor, members of the council, what I'd like to do is just touch on three items very quickly tonight. One is just what's in your packet, two is where the Planning Commission is right now, and the third item we need to talk about a little bit is schedule, and I kind of give you a sense of where other local governments are in their process right now, so you kind of know where Monroe sits relative to other jurisdictions. In terms of what's in your packet, what we've included this week are what's called the action items, and in what will be one chapter of the comprehensive plan, there will be all the goals, all the policies, and these action items. And the action items you have right now in your packet have been reviewed by the Planning Commission. My sense is they'll still take another look at them, but in terms of what the Planning Commission feels is really the core of the comprehensive plan will be the goals, 8 goals, the policies which you have that they've reviewed. There's over 200 policies and about 25 action items. These action items, they're intended to be some of the key items to implement certain policies. So they may involve participation in certain groups, they may involve passing codes, they may involve interlocal agreements, they may involve providing or preparing new plans as part of the follow-up. And so the action items that you have, there's 25 of them. They've tended to come from what the consultant has heard throughout the public process. So when ultimately you get a final version of those action items from the Planning Commission, each action item has a timeline associated with it, over 20 years. So it kind of gives you a sense of what will be a priority to move forward with, what might be something you do during the course of 20 years, what you may do during the course of 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, and then each one of those action items will be tied to what policies they implement. So in terms of what Chapter 2 ultimately would be when you get them, again, the goals, the policies, and the action items. In terms of where the Planning Commission is right now, last night the Planning Commission reviewed the transportation element, or the transportation chapter, and that was a long meeting. They spent over 3 hours looking at the transportation chapter. They had a lot of questions and a lot of comments and a lot of changes to that particular chapter. That chapter covers a lot. We think of transportation, we think of just automobile driving, but it covers non-motorized, bicycling, pedestrian circulation throughout the city. It covers freight, and it also covers public transit. So there were a lot of changes made to that element. And what I'm actually thinking is that at some point in the course of the next couple of weeks, Brad and I may want to talk to you as part of this presentation, spend a few minutes just going through the transportation chapter and some of the issues that came up as part of the Planning Commission discussion, so you know what those are before it comes to you. And then finally, in terms of schedule, the resolution that was passed by the City Council said, or anticipated, that the city would complete the plan, the comprehensive plan process July 28th of this month, and obviously we're not going to get there. So sometime probably at your July 28th meeting, we'll bring another resolution forward identifying a new target date for completion of the comprehensive plan adoption process. And I'm thinking right now probably sometime, I don't know the exact date, near the end of September. And just as a metric for where we are compared to other jurisdictions, the Puget Sound Regional Council is the agency that reviews comprehensive plans for consistency with the regional transportation plan. They indicated that for the three county area, King County, Snohomish County, and Pierce County, there's 81 local governments that need to have their plans reviewed and certified. And as of July 1, 21 of those 81 local governments have completed the plan adoption process. 45 of those 81 have submitted their plans to the Puget Sound Regional Council for review, but have not yet adopted their plans. And that's where Monroe is right now. So we're part of that 45. And then there's 15 jurisdictions, 1-5, that haven't even turned in their plans for review to the Puget Sound Regional Council. So relatively speaking, there's probably about 25% that have completed the process, but there's over 50% that are basically where we are right now. We're still in the process of completing our plan, and then there's 15% out there that are just kind of lagging and haven't even submitted a plan to the Puget Sound Regional Council for review. So with that in mind, I believe on your July 28th council agenda, we'll be bringing a resolution to you identifying a new target date for completion of the comprehensive plan process.
Thank you. Councilmember Gehring.
Thanks. Again, I really appreciate all the work that you and the Planning Commissioner doing. That's a lot of time spent on each one of these. I just have having a chance to look through these, and these action items are the things we've been talking about. I like what I see. We got downtown, we got Main Street, we got the fairgrounds, we got US2. That's what we're looking for, things that we can actually point to and say, okay, over the next 20 years we're doing it. So again, I want to say thanks, and I like what I see. Thank you.
Thank you. Councilmember Cutterback.
Thank you for your work on this. So the question about the action items, and I appreciate you clarifying that it'll have a timeline attached. And the timeline, can you tell me a little bit more how that looks? I know we have, is it?
Well, if you have your glasses on, this is the previous version. So it's actually the action item, a 20-year period that's kind of broken into increments.
Okay.
There'll be dots or lines that kind of reflect. Is this a short-term item, medium-term item, long-term item to implement, or is it something that you kind of do during the course of the entire 20 years?
Okay. And are they listed any order of priority?
They're not listed in any order of priority, but what the consultant had done is he had given these action items to, I believe, the Parks Board, the Planning Commission, and I'm not sure what other bodies reviewed them, and they were asked to rank them.
Okay.
And so actually as part of the version that exists right now, there's actually a score that compiled a score based on those questionnaires that were given to those different commissions and bodies that kind of reflect their impression of how much these should be prioritized relative to the other action items.
Well, I think it's important as we look at that and timing and then priorities set by the different committees or boards that, because I see this impacting budget decisions. So somehow, you know, if we have knowing what the priority is over the time period, I think as we approve a budget every year, we're kind of pulling that out and looking at the priorities, looking at the project, looking at the timeline, and then, you know, figuring out if we have the budget to do some of this stuff. So I think that's important to have that full circle. My other question was, if we set a timeline for any of these items, are we held accountable to doing it within that time?
No.
Okay.
No.
So this is just kind of our plan, but if we don't achieve it by those timelines, we're good. We're still okay.
You're okay.
Okay.
I mean, and keep in mind also the plan document's a rolling document in the sense that you can amend it every year.
Sure.
So it's certainly something you can do, take a look at every 2-3 years and decide whether or not it's still
right.
Appropriate or not. And then some of the items may very well fall off because you've done them.
Right. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any other questions or comments? Okay, Mr. Osaki, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Unless there's objection, I'm going to move the final action, AD 15-126, up in the agenda. We have individuals here this evening and I'd like to get to that next. So we're going to go ahead and call then on final action number one, AB 15-126, ordinance number 012-2015, regarding bond delegation for final reading. Ms. Nelson.
For the final reading, we brought out the big guns. We have Dan Stuneris, our bond counsel from Foster Pepper, and Dave Trageser, our underwriter from D.A. Davidson, and they're here to answer any questions you may have. I think this is kind of routine. We've done this rollover before, but just in case, I want to make you feel comfortable about it, so if you have any questions at all, this is the time. Yeah, but if you want to know anything you wanted to know about bonds.
Council members. Councilmember Rasmussen.
No questions, so I'll
put it in reading. I know.
I'm out.
Adopt ordinance number 012-2015, an ordinance of the City of Monroe, Washington, relating to contracting indebtedness, providing for the issuance, sale, and delivery of not to exceed $4,300,000 aggregate principal amount of taxable limited tax general obligation refunding bonds to provide funds to refund certain outstanding limited tax general obligation bonds of the city, and to pay the cost of issuance and sale of the bonds, fixing or setting parameters with respect to certain terms and covenants of the bonds, appointing the city's designated representative to approve the final terms of the sale of the bonds, and providing for other related matters.
Second. I have a first from Councilmember Rasmussen, a second from Councilmember Camp. Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed. Motion passes 7-0. Thank you very much. The next item that we have on our agenda, now again, this is out of order from the way that the agenda was written. This is now new business. We're going on to new business item number one, AB 15-124, authorizing the mayor to sign consultant agreement for professional planning and plan review services with H.W. Lochner. Mr. Osaki.
Mayor and council members, the city had a professional services agreement with a firm, but that professional services agreement for planning services expired in June, so consequently the city issued an RFP requesting proposals for planning and permitting review services. Five firms responded, and based on an evaluation of the proposals, the firm of H.W. Lochner out of Bellevue was selected, and so what staff is requesting is that you authorize the mayor to sign the consultant agreement with H.W. Lochner. The agreement's included as part of the agenda packet, and it includes the scope of work and the cost of services to the individuals as part of those firms. And I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you. Councilmember Herring.
I don't have any questions, so I'll make a motion.
I
move to authorize the mayor to sign consultant agreement for professional planning and plan review services with H.W. Lochner and expressly authorize further minor revisions as deemed necessary or appropriate.
Second.
I have a first from Councilmember Gearing. I have a second from Councilmember Hanford. Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, motion passes 7-0. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The next item we have on the agenda is new business item number 2. This is AB 15125, discussion garbage contract. Ms. Nelson.
Our garbage contract expires August 31st, 2017, and it's council's decision on how you want garbage service or solid waste services to be in this city. And there's a lot of things to consider. One of the options is to do a full-out RFP, request for proposals, for all garbage solid waste vendors. And that, in particular, is a very lengthy, involved process. And so if that is one of the options, if that is the option you're going to want to choose at this time for when this contract ends, we need to start now. And that's why this is being brought to you now. Other options are to extend. There's two-year extensions on that contract. And so you could say, okay, for the time being right now, we're just going to do a two-year extension. And during that 2 years, we'll go out for the full RFP if you're not happy with the public service. Or you can just decide just to renegotiate with Republic Services and not do an RFP. Or you can just keep extending the contract. There are many options. However, if you do decide at this point that you want to do an RFP and have a new contract in place by September 1st, 2017, we would need to start right now. I just want to, that being said, and this is totally council's decision, whatever you do, we're bound to follow, but here's my pitch. We're a little short on staff right now, and an RFP is a huge process. There's a lot of work involved. There's a lot of analysis to be done. Part of it is doing a lot of analysis and bringing to council studies and recommendations on whether you want it to be a franchise with the WUTC governing it, whether you want it to be fully done by the vendor and we do no customer service, no billing. Or have us do just customer service and them do the billing. I mean, there's tons of options and it's a lot to look at. And plus there's other things that happen. We did learn when we switched to this last time from waste management to public services. It's huge when you change vendors, and I personally did not realize how personal people take garbage service. We had a lot of people that were angry with us just because it was a change. Because we would say, well, what don't you like? And they're like, well, you changed it on us. There's a lot of that. And plus, each vendor plays by different rules. Just to throw out one thing that caused a huge problem that we had, did not see coming was Republic Services requires, if you have a bunch of apartment buildings or duplexes in a row, they want the address on each can so they know who to bill extras for, whereas Waste Management was not particular about that. And we said, okay, yeah, we can ask our customers to put their address on the cans. We didn't realize what a big deal that was. People were livid. I had several people coming into my office screaming, yelling, because they did not want to put their address on the can. Garbage is a big deal to people, and it's huge, and we did not realize, okay, I did not realize how big this was. So I just wanted to throw that out, that doing a full RFP is a big process. It takes a lot of staff time and a lot of council time, and I'm not sure, I mean, we will do whatever you want. If you want us to do it right now, we'll go, but my personal wish is that you maybe go for a two-year extension. Your call, Tyre. And that being said, I think that's all I have. Was there anything else I want to say? Oh, and then just switching the vendors. You have to make sure there's a lot of work that is done internally to make sure our billings files are compatible, that we have to share information, because they have to have their own billing system, and then we have our billing system, and our files have to talk, and you guys are computer people, so you know what I'm talking about, making sure that things interface, and that was a fun process. And those were the main points I wanted to bring up. But other than that, whatever council wants.
Thank you. Councilmember Camp.
Thank you. Diane, so do we have customer service surveys for garbage or solid waste?
We don't. I keep a file on complaints, but we don't have, we have not done any surveys, no.
Do we have any, so just with what you've seen, have you seen any patterns? Do we receive hundreds of complaints a month, one or two?
When we initially changed, huge complaints.
I'm thinking now that we're a few years into it.
No.
No.
Things are running very smooth right now. Republic is really good about they stay to the line of the contract. They don't deviate from the contract. There's good and bad with that. If people have extras and stuff, they will bill them for it. But they're also very good at taking pictures so that we can send it, because people go, I didn't have extras.
Right.
Yes, you did. Things like that. They're very adamant about if someone says, oh, you missed my garbage, and they say, no, the garbage wasn't out on time. Things like, you know, yeah. We have those are the types of issues we deal with. But by and large, I mean, there's always going to be some complaints with any service, but by and large, things have really smoothed out. We've got a good working relationship with them. They keep their costs down as much as they can. Just as a comparison, Waste Management, they're more like, their attitude when they were our vendor is more like a Nordstrom's attitude. It's whatever the customer wanted is fine. They would just be fine. But they would also charge us through the nose for it. So, you know, it's a trade-off.
Okay. Also, you said if we were to go with an RFP, we'd have to start now. Would we have time to do a customer service survey between now and, let's say, October? Would October to 2017 be enough time, or are you serious that it should start yesterday or today?
Yeah, we can do a survey at any time.
Okay. But would you have enough time?
You're talking like putting one in a municipality bill or something like that?
Right, but if we were to get that information back, and I'm just thinking, give us 3 months or so, so October, November. And to get a response that would put us out to December or January of 2016 for a possible RFP. Is that enough time, or are we really at a point where we have to start? I see that.
Last time we allowed a year for the process, and at the end, the takeaway was that we needed 2 years.
Okay, Mr. Fowler.
The a year is enough time to do the RFP.
Right.
But it's... Then the new vendor needs like 9 months to gear up. That was the big problem we had at the end. And if you remember, there were piles of recycling bins about town, because that was them to get their things.
Exactly.
After they get the contract, they need time to order all their new stuff and things. So that's the big thing. So we probably do, we just remember that we probably have to have, if we decide to select a new vendor, it has to be at least 9 months before they need to start.
So if we're looking at, and you said it's August, right? August of 2017.
Yeah.
So we really are looking at 2 years, including that 9 month window.
Okay. So you do 3 months for a survey, a year for the RFP, and 9 months for.
So we could probably, if we hit one along those lines, we could just about do it. All right. Thank you.
Thank you. Councilmember Garrett.
Thank you. I just thinking about the whole RFP process. I think Republic Services Allied, I think they're doing a good job. Just my personal opinion, I don't think we need to go out for an RFP. I do think we need to renegotiate, however. I'm going to channel a former council member who would probably be here and yell at us if we didn't. And in agreement with that, with past comments that were made, just from the inclement weather policy, things like that, things we've had to deal with over the last 5 years that, you know, we didn't foresee, but we know now. And I think it would be a mistake not to address those specifically, because you just don't know when it's going to happen, and it needs to be covered. We ran into that issue before. It's still working with them everywhere. I think we're getting pretty good service. Like I said, you know, complaints are minimum. There's always someone who's going to be unhappy about something. I mean, you can't. It doesn't matter what you do. But from that standpoint, just you know, my own personal, I don't hear people talking about it. People hear people necessarily complaining about it. But I think there are some things that we can do better
perhaps in a negotiation. So I would not be okay personally with just extending for 2 years. I think I would like to reopen with them. Let's talk about some of the numbers and that kind of that, some of the rubs that we had last time, which just that automatic increase where there wasn't really a way to, I mean, it was always going to go up. I mean, that's kind of the way that it was. And sometimes that's the way these things work. But inclement weather in particular, we had an issue with that. It wasn't addressed.
And the labor issue.
The labor issue with that. And we want, it should be the next day. We shouldn't have to wait a week for that. They should be here the next available day. I don't care if it's our scheduled day or not. It's good customer service. You come do it. So that for me, that kind of stuff, that you know, and I won't be here, but you know, I'll be standing there and I'll say we have to have that. We have to address that. So again, happy with them, but we need to renegotiate rather than extend. It might be.
That is an option that we have.
Thank you. Councilmember Cutterback.
Then how much is the contract a year?
About
$236,000
a month.
So that's a lot of money. So I guess I would need I completely understand staff being stretched, and I understand the timing. I appreciate those comments. I'm somewhat on the fence about not doing an RFP just based on the amount of money every year we pay for this. It's a lot of money. And we have had some concerns. Residents come in and ask for non-mandatory at times, and I think we at least need to have a discussion about the, like you were saying, least a discussion of whether it's mandatory, non-mandatory, and right now it's mandatory. Mm-hmm. And we have had some people come in and say, why am I paying for this when I'm not using it? I'm gone. I don't live here 6 months of the year, but I still pay for garbage. And so I even if we don't change it, I think it's worth a discussion to have that. And with the cost so great, and obviously garbage matters to people,
it's a big deal,
I think we need to look into it a little bit more. Also, if I remember, we've eaten a lot of the increases that have come up.
We have a healthy fund balance.
Yeah, so we've taken on the increases that Allied Waste has gotten, and we haven't passed them on to the customer, which is a choice we have, which,
increases have been kind of small.
Yeah.
So that's been nice.
Well, but we just need to look at that. And I don't know what the market's like. You know, I don't know if we could get a better competitive deal. I don't know. We haven't had that discussion about what is the market like out there. So I guess I think it's at least prudent of us to have the discussion over a couple things and not just decide to extend, but at a minimum, you know, just talk about some of the issues or
negotiating.
And I think we might have a discussion in a different sphere to talk about that. So those are my thoughts.
Thank you. Councilmember Hanford.
Thank you. I agree. I was looking back through my notes on my emails because I remember we talked about this 2 years ago. And I've got all the emails here because I filed them for the future.
Okay. Nicely done.
Under garbage contract failure. I mean, yes.
Actually, it is
garbage contract failure. Uh-huh. So, just to remind for those that aren't on council, that is something that when at that time 2 years ago we talked about this. We talked about we came to an agreement. And we said, let's remember this, let's file this for the future, so that when it's time to renegotiate the contract, we have the notes, and we know what we talked about, and what actually took place. And so, that is something that we really need to be thinking through, and not that we need to dredge up, you know, anything from that's bad from the past, but we are talking about a lot of money. Mm-hmm. And so as much as I'm in total agreement, I know staff is taxed, so RFP would be pretty hard at the moment, but I don't want to just keep signing checks and just assume that 2 years ago we said, let's remember this at the contract and then just throw that out the window.
Yeah.
Because that's why we filed this, for that reason. So, thank you.
Thank you. Councilmember Gamble.
Yeah, I'm in agreement. I'm glad you brought that up because that's exactly what I was going to point out, is that every single one of us up here said, hey, we need to file this, we need to remember, you know, that I think I even remember quotes of, you know, really the RFP process is the only thing we have to, you know, from a competitive perspective to drive. Because, and those conversations at the beginning, my bullet I have is it's not all been roses, right? There was, you know, it got a little pointed. I mean, we had to get pretty, pointed, you know, and that sort of thing. Now, I will say the last couple of years, to your point, Diane, I mean, the working relationship has improved immensely. They've been, you know, the commitment to the community has increased. It's been, you know, that's been great. The, you know, the events they've had at the high school and the cleanups the last couple of years have gone off.
Yeah, they're trying to be a good community.
Yeah, absolutely. And I don't want to, you know, lose sight in any way, shape, or form. But to Councilman Amfer's point and Gehring's, you know, we at a minimum, you know, for me personally, it's, you know, reviewing the contract for those particular items. And I do mean, you know, I do take pause, Patsy, under her comments, because, yeah, once we're $200,000 a month, that's a pretty big deal, and it only comes up X amount of time. You know, in my line of work, it would be, you do an RFP because of the impact of the budget, how big it is. So I am intrigued a little bit by Jim's comment, around a potential survey. I don't know why it would take us potentially 3 months to do that. I mean, if we put it out there and then, you know, if it's on the website and it's, you know, if there's a survey monkey or something, at least to throw into when we're looking at this in totality, you know, what is, you know, this, what are the citizens' viewpoints on, you know, hey, how is the service? City is, you know, coming up on the end of life contract, or, you know, looking at potential RFP, you know, are we, you know, just asking basic general questions to get an idea. There's, see if we would be able to get a pretty quick sample size pretty quickly. Yeah.
Okay.
So that's all I have.
Thank you. Councilmember Hanford.
Yes, thank you. I forgot to mention that I'm in agreement with the survey. I think that would be excellent. And then also, we've added the cost to our residents on our monthly city bill. It's gone up like every year because of the improvements we made to the sewer treatment plant and everything else. So the last thing that I want to see happen is have them say, yeah, it's going to go up again, and then we're either going to have to choose to eat it again, or we're going to have to pass on to our customers, the city residents, which I don't think we should be doing. I think whatever we can do to not continue to increase the bill, I think it's important for us, because it's gone up considerably. So.
Councilmember Rasmussen.
Thank you. I'm just curious, thinking back to when we were waste management, were you seeing the same type of increases that we're seeing currently with our with Republic? I mean, small increases that are in there, or I mean, was it pretty much flat across the board? So
no, there were increases every year.
Okay.
Mr. Brazel is going to respond.
If my memory serves me correctly, and Mr. Feilberg can help me with this, I want to say that waste management was looking like at 24 or 26% increase. That's when we had talked and said we've got to go out to an RFP.
Okay.
So
that was the driving.
It was the driving factor, and when we did get the responses, Republic did come in at, I want to say, a 14% increase over what we were paying, but it was still half of what waste management was proposing.
Yeah, waste management was way out there.
Yes, absolutely. And that was the driver the last time. I also wanted to mention that Republic has been really good about the community outreach. In fact, they called me the other day, as they do routinely, bring me up to speed on things that they're involved in. And apparently they received a request from the Arts Council or somebody at the Wagner Auditorium, and it sounds like they're going to be helping them with their debris removal as well. So they're always doing something for the community, it seems like.
Councilmember Smithson, you still have the floor?
Thank you.
I just wanted to add, it's great. They've completely plugged in the community. Just the difference, the one thing I do remember, though, is that it wasn't a like-for-like, because there were some services after we got into the contract that we realized, it was a pretty significant you know, miss that they would do the city garbage basically for free or something to that effect. I can't remember. Do you remember?
Yeah, because we are illegally accepting free services because it's a utility, and therefore you cannot get free service from it.
If we go to a pure
franchise, they can give us anything they want.
Okay.
Or anything we can get out of them. But as a utility, all customers have to be charged for the service.
So that was going to go away no matter
what? Yeah, that would have gone away with waste management too.
But that, you know, the only way it manifested itself is because we had a new vendor and all of a sudden we were paying for it. Right?
Well, though, because we looked at their contract and go, that's illegal.
The old one.
Yeah.
The old
one.
Which we weren't involved in, just to be clear.
That was a way previous.
All right. Councilmember Cutterback.
So, Brad, can a utility then have a non-mandatory? It can?
Yes.
You said if it's a utility, everybody has to pay.
Well, everybody gets the service. You just,
okay.
We can't. The utility can't give free service.
Okay, but we cannot charge someone, even though it's utility, as long as they're not having the service.
Right
now, for water, everybody pays a flat fee, a base fee.
Yeah, but they have water. They have to have a water meter. They don't have a water meter. They
might not be using it, but they have a meter,
right,
and they pay the flat fee. Yeah. Okay. I just wanted to clarify that. Thank you.
Are there any other comments? What I will be doing then on Thursday is going over some items with staff. First, I'm going to get a schedule of renegotiation versus RFP. Because obviously, if you're willing to renegotiate the contract, the thing is, what does that mean in terms of renegotiate? They say no, you want to go to an RFP, and wanting to know what the schedule looks like. So we will go over that on Thursday in our staff meeting. I'll also want to get a list of issues if renegotiation, and I've heard some of those issues here this evening. So if you've got any issues that haven't been covered, if you can email me and Gene will go ahead and get a list together of what those issues are. We'll certainly have time to discuss those later. And I think we'll go ahead when we get to the extended agenda, discuss putting this on maybe the 21st to at least talk about the schedule of renegotiation versus RFP, and then may look at having a more in-depth conversation on the substance of some of those issues or what those issues are as early as the 28th, since we don't have a meeting on August 3rd. Because time is somewhat of the essence in this. And do any council members have any concerns about that line of reasoning or tasks? Okay. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Yes?
Could you add survey information?
Sorry.
I think it'd be well worth it if we have a survey.
Oh, survey, yes. Yes.
I didn't hear you mention that.
Yes. Yes, I'm going to add that to the list too. Yes. We'll discuss doing a survey and how soon we can do a survey. And it would seem to me that we would need to have it in the utility bills, so we would, in addition to online.
Right.
Yeah. All right. So we'll go over that on in our staff meeting also on Thursday. And we'll report on how that might be scheduled out, because that could apply both renegotiate and RFP routes. All right. Anything else? Seeing nothing else, we will now move on to council member reports. We'll start off with a report from the P4 committee, and then we'll go down to individual reports. So, P4.
So our main topic in response to council meeting a couple of weeks ago regarding panhandling, and that committee looked into that, and she informed us of our current code, which I think we all felt was pretty good. Our big takeaway is really educating the public of this code and what the services that we have available. We did ask chief and staff to possibly look at adding to it as far as, you know, where someone can beg or solicit, singling out certain areas such as ATMs, for instance. And so when they bring the, or when this comes back to full council next week, we'll have a lot more detail and discussion on that. But as I said, I think our biggest takeaway was education, educating the public and the businesses, and just because we do have something in place currently. So, Councilmember Cutback or Davis, anything you guys want to add to that?
So I think it's on the agenda for next week, and the
yes.
attorney will chime in on the legality of maybe amending it a little bit and all that thing.
Okay. Anything further?
That was really good.
Okay. All right. Individual council member reports. Council member Garing.
Yeah, good to be home. 13 states, 5,000 miles. I have a sore driving leg.
Sure.
Just to make sure I didn't have some blood clot in my leg, I went and had an ultrasound yesterday. And happy to announce I am not pregnant, nor do I have a blood clot. It is interesting getting an ultrasound. Yeah, those machines are pretty amazing. But. Good to be home. Glad to be back in Monroe. Amazing time, and it's like you go out of town for one day, and there's like three new stores opening, and groundbreaking for this and that. So, again, just a very exciting time, and yeah, good to be home. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilmember Gamble.
Yeah, back from vacation too. I missed last weekend. We just wrapped up the end of the 4th of July vacation with families in the mountains. Nice to be back where it's not 110, 115. It's a little hot over there. But yeah, absolutely busy week, but just a great week in Monroe. The opening, I know other council members were there as well, but the highway to the tap room. I missed the ribbon cutting, but was there opening day. I have to say they've been back since. with several folks, and actually some of us from the tournament, we'll talk about a little bit as well this weekend, were there, and it was packed every time I was down there. I think I've sampled pretty much every thing on the menu. Food-wise, Hook and Ladder, you know, that partnership, it did a great job. So very, very much impressed with that, and quite a few folks, even from around the area, you know, interacting with people at work from the surrounding areas have been coming and checking it out as well. So that's been great. This last weekend, Legends Baseball Club again had their Midsummer Madness tournament down in the city parks. You know, we had 25 to 35 baseball teams here from out of town, and as we were driving down there in the morning, seeing baseball teams coming out of all the different eating establishments, and just is another confirmation of, you know, the commerce that is done every time we have one of those. Results on that, our 10U baseballers, we have two teams of the 10U from the Monroe area. They took first place. They were the champions, and we had the third place. And then the 9U team, which my son's on, they took third place. And then the 8U, so it was 8U through 10U, the 8U team took second place. So the hometown baseball teams represented very, very well in a very competitive tournament with lots of teams from outside, you know, across the area. Some of them with the coaches are paid. None of our coaches are paid. so it was really competitive baseball. One thing I will say is after being there, you know, throughout the weekend and watching numerous games as we were running the tournament, is that I do want to maybe get back on the agenda or somewhere down the road more of a discussion around the height of the fences at the four fields at Sky River. We talk about, you know, we put the one curtain up, the net curtain on field two, it just was a reminder to me how dangerous it can be when you are playing very competitive baseball. You know, the whole time you're there, it's heads. We had one woman that got hit, you know, pretty hard. And it's something that I think can be, you know, easily remedied, especially after seeing that all the different fields have been out, you know, across the state, via different netting techniques and that sort of thing. And I just think it would help add, not only to public safety, but, overall, as we draw in, if you have an opportunity, I know the NSA, the National Softball Association, the World Series is back. And you can see that firsthand. You go down and you will see balls, flying. We've made some great improvements on those fields over the last year with putting you know, tops on them, and the, you know, the new dirt, the new soil, and all that kind of stuff. And I just think it's the logical next step to increase the safety down there, because they are utilized quite a bit. Get off that soapbox, but that was very prevalent this last weekend. And then obviously today with breaking ground up at the high school for the softball fields there, we had several of the kids from the Legends Baseball organization up there. They were just jacked and excited, you know, 9 and 10 year old kids, and then we had some of the high schoolers already did, you know, the break ground that can't wait to start playing their next season. So just a great weekend all around, or a great week all around for the city of Monroe.
Thank you. And we'll relay the questions you had about the fence site to Mike, who's on vacation right now.
Okay, great. And I do know that, you know, I was approached, because obviously there's a lot of folks that are a part of the Legends organization that are also Little League board members. And they approached me during the tournament and said, hey, and I told them, hey, they're going to put an official email through from the league, just to work in more. Because I know last time we did that, they helped in securing the Boy Scout troop to help with the, doing the tops.
Dugouts.
Yeah, the dugouts. So, I mean, we very much have a partner, in that. So, anyway, that is forthcoming. They were going to put a formal communication.
Thank you very much, Jason.
Yep.
Councilmember Davis.
Yes, next Tuesday I will not be attending. I'll be out of state going through some training. So consequently, the Legislative Affairs Committee meeting either. So.
Okay. We'll have the extended agenda reflect not here next week and then Legislative Affairs Committee. Okay. Anything further?
That's it.
Okay. Councilmember Camp?
No.
Rasmussen.
Thank you.
Attended the ribbon cutting last week. Great. Packed house. A lot of fun.
You can see everyone.
Also had the chance, my oldest son and I came out downtown for the downtown cleanup last week, which was a lot of fun as well. Even a little four-year-old was having a good time with it, dragging the big garbage bag that's bigger than him around downtown, and it was all very gratifying to be down there and some of the business owners and some of them that stood here having very strong words to us coming by and showing their appreciation and thanks for helping. So it was really cool. Music in the park last Friday was good. It was fun being down there, seeing everyone. Daughter. Looking forward to that coming up next week, or this week, this Friday as well. So that got a big run this weekend, and we'll see you next week.
Thank you. Councilmember Cutback.
Nothing tonight.
Okay. Councilmember Hanford.
Thank you. Yeah, it was great to be at the ribbon cutting for the Route 2. And so cool to see the community coming out and them telling us when I talked to the owners that they've been as packed as it was when we were all there for the ribbon cutting. It's been like that every night since they opened, from about 6 to 9. It's just a madhouse. So that's great to hear. Nice, unique business. It's cool to see something totally different. I was meaning to go to the cleanup, and something came up that night that I couldn't make it, but I was planning to go there. Glad to hear that we were represented somewhat. Was also at the music in the park, and that was a great atmosphere and just a great time taking my kids down there. And was at the groundbreaking today, and just so encouraging, the view from that area up there, it's going to just be spectacular. It's going to be one of the best parks in the state, I'm sure. So that's it.
Thank you.
Staff.
Ms. Warden tonight. Ms. Nelson. Mr. Osaki.
Well, first I want to thank the council for authorizing the mayor to sign the professional service agreement. We really appreciate that. A couple other items. Today we had a pre-application meeting with the Monroe School District for the rebuild of the Park Place Middle School, and they anticipate submitting permits either later this year or first thing next year for construction that will take place during the course of three consecutive summers. So it's about a two-year time period over the course of three summers. And then just looking at next week's pre-application meeting, we have another plat for about 25 lots, and they'll be coming in to talk about their proposal as well. So things are still happening.
Excellent. Thank you. President, Councilmember Quinzer, Chief Quinzer. Mr. Chief Filer.
Yeah. I have three things, actually. Okay. And while the projector is warming up and Councilmember Hanford's moving to an empty chair over the side, or? let's see. Speaking of groundbreakings, there is the groundbreaking on Thursday at 11:30 between Emerald City Fitness and where Subway used to be, so if you want to come up with that. The flags are downtown. So far, since they've been there, we've lost over 25% of them. I go move them around every day and count them. And they all seem to end up on the northwest corner of Main and Lewis for some reason. People only
at Adams?
Yeah, people only walk that way, and then they forget to take them after they've been to Adams and put them back on the other side. I don't know. So,
you go to the brewery.
Yeah.
Well, actually, I don't think I told you that. If you notice, the boulder cover is missing from the southeast corner of Main and Lewis. I found it last Friday in the alley behind the Dola Key building. We put it back on Friday evening at like 4:30. Saturday morning I drove by and it was gone again. So, someone likes that one. So, banners again. We talked about banners last week, so we have some more information for you. These are the words we've selected to have on the banners, concentrated on the activities, but also have the kind of several ones at eat, stay, and shop to do some of those other things. So try, as in try the athlon. That's why I thought, I know why. I didn't spell it wrong. So. Those are those. We talked about last week, the banner locations are 63 total banners. Talking to a graphic artist, she said, well, I can spend a whole bunch of money making silhouettes for you, but you can go online to iStock, and for $222, or $220, you can make 499,999 impressions of their artwork, which we only want 63 banners, so I think we can do it. So to get the graphics license is $220 to have her lay out the banner to start with, get it all set up correctly is $500, and then each additional banner to put the new silhouette and the new badge on there would be $25 a piece, and then the banners themselves cost $90 a piece. So if we did five designs in downtown with 28 banners, that'd be $3,365. If we did five designs for all 63 banners, it would be $6,515. And if we did 10 designs for all 63 banners, it would be $6,640. And then sometime in the future, we said, ooh, we want another one, pop it in, do five banners, and any single design would cost $475 for those. We have enough money for the five designs, 28 banners in the admin advertising budget. So we'd be able to do that. And if you'd like to do more, then the money would have to be decided where that would come from in the future. So,
and those 28 banners are on East and West Main.
East and West Main and North and South Lewis.
And North and South Lewis,
yes.
Right. So basically your downtown core. Okay, anything further?
That's all I have.
Okay, Councilmember Camp and then Councilmember Hanford.
Thank you. You answered the question about which one would be, you could do it first. The only comment I have is try if we're doing the banners by the lake.
Yeah,
I could see it having that downtown,
and
I know everyone here would know, and residents would know, but visitors would go try what? Try which restaurant?
I was added for the lake.
Yeah, okay, that's fine. But we wouldn't be putting anything at the lake this time, right?
No.
So I can keep it on the list. I wouldn't see it as one of the first.
Yeah.
Five banners at this time. Anyway, that's all good. Thank you.
Okay.
Good job.
Councilmember Hanford.
Thank you. My opinion is, since we're focusing on the downtown at the moment, we're trying to revitalize downtown. Let's start with the five downtown, get them on the board first, and then in the future, add additional signage everywhere else. We know we want to do it in the future, and it doesn't look like it's going to be that much more if we do it later as opposed to doing it all right now. So that would be my opinion. Thanks.
And you don't have to do five. You can do four or six or three. That was just numbers to put numbers up there for.
Yeah. Just do the downtowns.
Yep.
My thought. Okay.
Thank you. And just a second, we get caught up here. All right, Councilmember. All right, Councilmember Cutterback.
Yeah, I'm in agreement to focus, do the five or less, yeah. Pick which ones focus on downtown. Probably we'll be able to see how they look really when you see them up and mm-hmm. how they last and whether people are receptive to them and all of that before we make the investment to do them throughout the town. But so.
This is funny. The lights, they keep going on. All right. I'm going to go ahead and take Councilmember Gamble since he hasn't gone on this topic yet, and Councilmember Hanford. Councilmember Gamble.
So just on the, if we go to the prices, like Brad again, so you're saying that, okay, if we do the five designs, 28 banners, and then one design, so if we go back.
That's after you've already got the base and stuff done.
Yes. Right. When we go back and then, you know, say, okay, well, the first time through, we just did the five designs, 28 banners for just downtown. Mm-hmm. Now we go back, it's going to be a different design because we want to do them for out at the, you know, still get that same cost or something.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, depends on how long you wait. You
know, understood.
She might go out of business, yeah. You know, so, or whatever. Yeah. Yeah.
But you're not going to get charged for, you know, swapping out the.
Yeah, no, obviously that's that.
Base costs.
That's the $25 is to swap out the badge and the silhouette.
Okay, got it. Yeah. That's what I was yeah. Doing. Okay. Great.
Thank you. That's what we're here for.
Yeah, and then also knowing that the holidays are coming up, the sooner we can get this done and get them up, the better. Then they can stay up until, you know, Thanksgiving weekend or whatever. That's all I want to say. Expediency.
Yes. Okay. Councilmember Cutback.
Okay. Is the timeline we could have them up by the parade?
Yes.
Okay. That was the only question, so not my.
Okay, Councilmember
Kent. Thank you. Going back to the, and most of those, like I said, the only exception I'd see is the try at this point. The rest of it would be okay. I was thinking about seasonal. Christmas is coming up. Whether or not we'd want to consider having some sort of a Christmas theme or holiday themed banners to replace the ones we would have down there at.
Currently, we have the wreaths that go up downtown.
Yeah. Well, right. The lights, yeah. The banners as well, saying shop here, happy.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
The marketing plan, the branding plan, had, if I'm not mistaken, sort of a greenish and a reddish also. So there were some things. This, for those of you that weren't here last week, this is kind of coming out of the branding plan, some of the the imagery that's going on here. And there were some colors in there that could be winter, Christmas, that sort of thing. Our original thought, and certainly if council would like to do this sooner, our original thought was to replace basically the summertime banners this year, and then maybe replace another season of banners next year, and so that we get in the role of every 4 years, we're replacing one of those seasons of banners. But if council wanted to replace the winter ones sooner, the Christmas ones sooner, we could certainly do that.
You reminded me of Campbell, so I thought I'd show them.
That was good. You did that very quickly. Go get a test later. Councilmember Camp, you still have a floor?
I'm done. Thank you.
Let's go to the list really quickly because I mean, it may not be a whole lot of time.
Right.
To find the silhouettes, but if we can knock a couple of those off the list right now, I'm hearing consensus to remove the word try.
For now.
And I heard somebody mention paddle, and I was thinking that paddle could be removed since we're working on the downtown. Does anybody have any? Okay, so we'll go ahead and we'll go for the lights then. Councilmember Gearing, and then RASP, so let me write these down. Councilmember Gary, you've got it.
Thank you. Eat Explore Music Shop. Those five. Eat Explore Music Shop. You don't stay downtown yet, but those are the five that relate to downtown. Everything else is really late related, and we'll get there, but if we're just going to do downtown, we want people to eat, we want to explore, we want music downtown, we want to shop downtown, and stay so you can go downtown. So those would be the five that I think we should start. That's my opinion.
Councilmember Hanford?
I agree.
Thank you. Okay. Anybody else have any difference of opinion on that? Okay, we're good. So we'll go with those five.
Okay.
All right. I think that's all we had for this topic. Mm-hmm. And we hope to bring forward those images for you probably when? You're going to be gone next week.
I'm going to be gone next week. So it could be the 28th.
Okay.
Unless she's really quick and can have them done by Friday.
Okay. Sounds good. And if that's the case, we can have another staff member put those up. Okay. Thank you very much, Brad.
You're welcome.
Well done.
Okay. Let's go through some of the things that I've got going on. The last week has been really busy. I've attended the litter pickup in the downtown. We had, as you all noted, the ribbon cutting for the Highway 2, the Route 2 tap room. We had music in the park on Friday night. I do thank our staff for their work they did on Saturday. I received an email Saturday morning about a side sewer issue in the downtown and was able to follow up with staff, and they're out there repairing the side sewer issue by about 2:30 or 3 o'clock in the afternoon on Saturday. So Brad and Ben, thank you very much for being available to help make that happen. I was at the chamber luncheon today, groundbreaking for the ball fields today. We have the ribbon cutting tomorrow at 3 o'clock for the farmer's market on Ann Street. So if you're able to make it, I think they're open from 3 until 7. And that'll be every Wednesday beginning at 3 until 7 o'clock through October, and that's weather dependent. Also tomorrow evening is the NSA Western World Series tournament at Sky River Park. The welcoming part of the ceremony will officially begin at 7 p.m. There's a homeless task force meeting at 10 o'clock on Thursday morning. Groundbreaking for turning place at 11:30. Stonewich County's, is anybody going to be at the turning place groundbreaking? I was asked to check on that. Yeah, Councilmember Rasmussen, is anybody else able to attend?
I'm
going to
try my attempt to attend. It's Thursday, right?
Thursday 11:30, yeah. Okay, so I have three council members. So Councilmember Davis, Councilmember Garrett, and Councilmember Cutaback.
No questions.
Okay. If there's a fourth one of you that becomes a question mark, like 50% or greater, that you're going to be there, could you please let Ms. Swift know by
Wednesday, 9 a.m., which is tomorrow morning at 9 a.m.
Okay.
If it's 50%, put me down.
No. Yeah. I mean, notice this, we have to have the notice out 24 hours in advance, and I need time to work up the notice and send it by legal to make sure it all looks good. So that just gives me about 2 hours to do that. That's why we have that deadline.
My intent is to attend. I don't know about my schedule yet. That's the only.
Let's go ahead and notice it.
Okay.
So we will go ahead and notice it just out of the abundance of caution. Councilmember Gamble.
Yeah, so I just have a question in regards to, we get a lot of ribbon cuttings. Mm-hmm. Is there any reason why we couldn't put a notice out every time there's a ribbon cutting that we could potentially have four council members present to celebrate the ribbon cutting? Just as a de facto?
We haven't had that happen yet, but it came close to happening at the Highway 2. And I know there are different ways to look at notices like that. So
if we want to follow OPMA laws, then we should notice things as soon as we know. And one of the laws that is part of that is noticing in your newspaper. And as you know, our newspaper that we're using, the Monroe Monitor, only posts on Tuesday. So if we have 24 hours advance notice, we most of the time miss that particular type of noticing. So for this particular time, we do not meet the timeline to meet the criteria to do so. So we try to notice it in all the other places that we can possibly notice it, just to cover us on the OPMA laws. As far as some sort of de facto, kind of something that would cover you for everything, I'm not really sure. I would kind of defer to our legal to see if there's something that we could do. But you are talking about OPMA laws and meeting those noticing requirements of more than four council members.
So one of the things, and we have two more lights, one of the things that we do is follow, is have staff follow up with our attorney about things like a ribbon cutting for the Highway 2 taproom. That's something that's being done for the local business. We're not talking about city business.
Correct.
And it's just cutting a ribbon.
Right.
That's, yeah, so that may be, I think we'll probably go ahead and we'll follow up with Mr. Lowell about that. This other one is a groundbreaking for a city project, and so this one might be seen as a little bit different. So out of the abundance of caution for this one in a short time frame, we'll go ahead and we'll notice it just in the event that we do have a quorum. But we will follow up with our legal, with our attorneys to see how we can make certain that people can attend ribbon cuttings and whatnot, and how the notice would end up going. Does that sound good?
Yeah. That's okay. Exactly.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Yep. All right. Snohomish County Cities is on Thursday. As already noted, we've got music at Lake Tai at 6:30 on Friday. And then we have Chamber Night at the Races on Saturday. And I think that's pretty much it. Monroe this week didn't make it on the agenda as a hyperlink. If you want to take a look at that, I updated the year-to-date figures as of June 30th, and the numbers are looking good. The sales tax is up, I think, 10.28% over last year. As an example, the REIT is up pretty high, and a lot of that is because the housing market is doing substantially better than last year. So I think that's all that I have to report for myself. Gene.
Thank you, Mayor. I just want to share something that I thought was pretty neat today. We're up the groundbreaking. I got to not only meet the new athletic director up there, but I got to meet the new girls basketball coach.
Yep.
Yeah, which is Ashley Tuyasosopo. And I had the honor to coach against her when she played for Woodinville and on her select teams when I was coaching select basketball. So it was great to see her and introduce myself, and she remembered me from back in the coaching days. So to have her on board, not only as a math teacher, but the girls basketball coach this season is going to be awesome. So good stuff at Monroe High School. And then the draft agenda for July 21st, 2015.
We will add to this going over the schedule for the garbage contract under unfinished business. And does anybody have anything else for the... Yeah, and the new business item, the discussion regarding banners, that will be assuming that we have the actual design. So if we don't have the designs by Friday or so, we'll go ahead and not have that on the agenda. Councilmember Camp.
Thank you. Were we going to discuss H3O?
It got moved to August. The reason for that is that they did come in over the last couple weeks and talk with staff, and Gene was on vacation last week, so we need to get caught up on where things are with some of the questions that arose through those conversations.
Okay.
So that is appearing, I think, on the 3rd, 10th, 18th. Thank you.
Okay, under unfinished business, we have the discussion of the 2015 comprehensive plan update. Under new business, we have panhandling regulations and the downtown banners. We will not be having the Legislative Affairs Committee meeting. And we will be having a potential litigation discussion as well. Any additions or deletions?
On the extended agenda, then,
thank you. I'd like to see if we can add a discussion on the Planning Commission compensation. I mentioned earlier this year, and I think this would be the time if I can get another
councilman.
I would support that.
Thank you.
So we'll go ahead and put that on an upcoming agenda. Since that would fold into the presumably into the 2016 budget, are you okay with that being in early August? So what we'll do is we'll target that maybe August 11th, since it seems like a really light agenda right now.
Okay.
Yes, Councilmember Cutterback?
Does the Salary Commission have any review over that? Not at all?
No, they focus on the elected officials.
Just elected, okay.
Anything else for the extended agenda? Depending upon how, Councilmember Rasmussen.
I just noticed on the agenda here regarding August 4th, we need to make a motion to cancel that one because of the National Night Out.
Chose this meeting canceled. Did we take a formal motion? Okay, yes, there will need to be a motion to cancel the meeting.
In that case, I'll make a motion to cancel the August 4th regular business meeting.
Second.
I have a first from Councilmember Rasmussen, a second from Councilmember Camp to cancel the August 4th council meeting. Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes 7-0. Okay, and what we'll do is we'll probably have the garbage compact appear on a couple more of these agendas and go ahead and populate those as we get closer. Right, everything else changed. That's it. Okay, we have no other business for council this evening. Is there a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Second.
I have a motion from Councilmember Cutaback, a second from Councilmember Camp. Any discussion on the motion to adjourn? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes 7-0. Thank you very much. Remember your paperweights.
Please don't forget those.
Yeah, $11.
Just like little time.